Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. We look forward to another fine show. We're blessed to have another outstanding guest, a coach that I've known for, God, I guess over 20 years. But this is the great thing about coaching and being involved in tennis. It brings people together that are looking to do things together and are looking to accomplish things. I'd like to go over a couple old business first, if I may. First, I'd like to thank all the well-wishers that have called in. They tell me my new knee is starting to respond, so hopefully that's true for the pain I've been going through. Hopefully it's going to be all worthwhile. I'm sure it will be, but it's better than limping around the way I did before. But it's been just about a week now since my knee replacement, and the trainers and my wife have been patient putting up with me. And I thank all of you that have called and have sent emails and wishing me well. And it does make it a lot easier when there's so many great individuals like you out there wishing me well. I'd like to, we had comments about last year, Coach, and our last week's show. I'm sorry, you might have to be patient with me today. Some of the pain medicine they have me on might make me a little dopier than normal, so just be patient if that is the case. But I did get some calls saying, you know, why not have the Emory Riddle coach, who was our last week's guest on the show, at our workshop in December. And that will happen. Either he or one of his assistants, we will be in Daytona Beach. And the FACA workshop is December 10th, 11th, and 12th. And he has promised me that either he or one of his assistants will do a presentation for us. So we truly are blessed to go out and have such fine people associated with us and willing to work. And I always tell the coaches, don't be afraid to go out and ask. I hear all the time, well, these are the people that are doing all the work already. Well, that's true, but if not us, then who is it going to be? Go out there and don't be afraid to ask for help. We all need help now and then, and it's usually the people that you think are so busy now, they find time in their schedule just to do a little more. And our guest on the show today is one of those people. But before I get to Scott, I don't see Okay, I don't see him. He's wanted to call in yet, so that's good. But let's talk about the articles in this past issue of Florida Tennis Magazine. We were blessed to have Dean Street Insurance as one of the people that presents our articles. They also were a main partner with our high school all-star tournament, and they understand that it takes a community to build a high school tennis programs. Most high school, when you look at the excellent high school tennis programs year in and year out, you'll find that beside the coach and the outstanding players and the parents that are there, you'll find a community behind them. And Dean Street Insurance will be again providing a community service award to somebody in the state of Florida. That award will be given out at our FACA workshop in Daytona Beach. And we're proud to have them aboard. And if you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to deanstreetinsurance.com, and I'm sure they'll be willing to talk to you about your needs. And, of course, where would we be without Wilson, Wilson Tennis Rackets? Wilson will be presenting Coach of the Year awards, and all of the four FHSAA categories, the 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A, we will have a Coach of the Year award, which will be given at the FACA meeting in Daytona Beach, December 10th through 12th. And thanks to Wilson, they will provide the trophies for that. So if you have a coach that is, you should be recognized, by all means, contact our first vice president, Jane Hollinger, and make sure that you get your coach nominated for Coach of the Year. Because, like I said, we will recognize a coach in all four categories. So thank you, Wilson, for being a leader in tennis with us again. And speaking about leaders, I see that our guest is now on our radio broadcast, and I'll go to him in a minute. Some of you that attended our FACA workshop 2 years ago remember him from being a presenter at our workshop. Coach Scott Edge is a gentleman that has over 27 years in high school and college coaching. He's a USPTA certified professional, and he's been recognized twice as U.S. PTA National Tennis Coach of the Year. And we've been blessed to be able to have him there. This past year, he wasn't able to attend our workshop, but if you go to our certification training, part of that certification is the video training we do, and you will see Scott there. Let me go and see if Scott is on. Now, Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing, John?
Well, I'm doing as well as can be expected. If I sound a little dopier than normal, might be the pain pills I'm under, but you just take over and keep talking, because this is who the people really want to come and listen to every week anyway, is our guest. I would just tell them, the audience, something about you. I was thinking back to where we go back. I was looking at to 2001 World Scholar Athlete Games, and I always thought that was a pretty special time, but I see we go all the way back to the University of Rhode Island then, and I think we were there at even before that, if I'm not familiar. Do you remember?
When were you the coordinator? Because I know I was coordinator 1 year for that event, and you were coordinator 1 year.
Right. You were the coordinator following me. I think that was in, 2006? I know 2006, what I always thought was a pretty special year for me. Of course, you were there, and I don't know if you remember Barry Goldsmith from Brooklyn and Stu Engel from Indiana, but we also had two Florida coaches there, John Bergstrom and Jennifer Bergstrom. Of course, Jennifer I had brought 4 years earlier as a player, and it was great to be back
I remember those coaches well. Yeah, it was a fun time. Actually, I don't know if you were there on the opening of the initial World Scholar Athlete Games in 1993. Were you there in 1993 when they first started?
I came the following one.
Okay, 1997. Yeah, so I've been involved in that since 1993, and you know as well as I do that was a great event for bringing kids together in sports and in our arena of tennis.
No question about it. And that's why I was telling the people, I'm always telling the coaches, go out, don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to ask. And when I think about people say, well, you know, they're so busy and everything, and I think, you know, boy, who's busier than Scott Edge and starting the National High School Tennis Coaches Association. That was back in the 90s, too, wasn't it, Scott?
Yeah, that was 1997 we started that, yeah.
1997, God bless you. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about, how did you get involved with coaching tennis? I suspect your father had a pretty good influence on that.
Yeah, my dad was always a big influence on me in all aspects of my life, but particularly in coaching. He was a high school tennis coach for 50 years in Illinois, as in the Illinois Tennis Coaches Hall of Fame himself, and got inducted about 10 years ago in that. That was a great honor and thrill for him. But he coached tennis from the time he was 22 years old until he was 72 years old, 50 years of high school coaching. And I saw what a great joy and love he had, not only for the sport, but for, you know, teaching young men and women about how to handle adversity, how to handle competition in a gracious manner. And I saw the admiration and love that he got from his players for not only being a coach, but being more like a second father to many of them. And early on in my college career, when I was looking to figure out what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a part of that. I saw how special that was. I had participated both in high school and college athletics and saw how great the camaraderie was, not only among the college players, but among the college coaches. It was a special fraternity, and I wanted to be a part of that. So, I got involved early in my teaching career and in coaching, and have loved it ever since.
And I think you know as well, I say sometimes I'm always careful because I think some people think that, I'm belittling another organization, but you being a 28-year member of the USPTA and I'm being a 25-year member of the PTR, we both respect what a tennis pro job is and what tennis pros have to offer. But there is a major difference from being a tennis pro to being a high school or a college coach, but maybe my own bias, but I come from a basketball history before tennis, and I always said when I coached basketball, I thought it was tougher coaching high school than it is coaching college. But there is a difference between being a coach and being a tennis pro. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, on certain levels, yeah. You know, many times, you know, tennis coaches will do a couple privates or a couple group lessons, you know, and maybe even seasonally, and then those kids will go away, and many times they're younger. When kids get to be teenagers, oftentimes when you treat them with great respect and admiration, and what I'm trying to do, you know, it's nothing I've invented, but I think all good coaches do this. My father certainly did this and demonstrated for me too. If you treat your players like your family, not only will they respect your advice and your coaching more, but you'll have lifelong friends. And that's been one of the greatest aspects of my coaching career is the guys I've coached 25 years ago, we're still friends, and we go out to dinner once in a while, and we reminisce on the phone about matches that we had. That's the most special relationship. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure some coaches, some tennis pros have that when they do a long-term coaching of an athlete. But I don't know if it that occurs on a regular basis like it does with high school coaches.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, that would, you know, we've been both blessed to be able to, on the teaching pro level, to work with some special people. The rewards of coaching when you go to college graduations and invited to weddings and you're getting to that age too. It won't be that much longer when you start coaching the kids of the that you coached their parents before. It is special.
Yeah. I'm doing some of that now. You've got some former athletes of mine who have kids that have now started bringing their kids to my tennis lessons or our junior camps. One of the things that I want to mention too in regard to that special relationship with your athletes is in 1997, my team won its first state tennis championship. So we're in the process of right now in 2 years trying to have a 20th reunion for all those boys that were on our team that won a state championship. So we're in the process of trying to connect all those kids together for a big dinner 2 years down the road. And the other thing I want to mention about that, too, one of the things I always left my high school seniors with at their end-of-the-season banquet, I always told them, here's three things I want you to do for me, all right? Particularly if they played college tennis. I said, when you win your first college match, I want you to give me a call and tell me about it. And when you get married, I want you to tell me about the wonderful young man and wonderful young lady that you get married to. And then when you have your first baby, I want you to call me too. Because those are, you know, those are life situations that should be celebrated. You know, I always try to treat my kids, men and women's teams, like family. And so I want to be a part of their life beyond the tennis court, beyond the high school. And so now I'm starting to receive some of those calls. And those, I tell you what, John, those are really, really special calls that you get from your former athletes.
Yeah, there's no questions about that. And it's obvious that was one of the reasons that in 97 you looked to start the NHTCA. Can you tell me what is the mission of the National High School Tennis Coaches Association?
The primary mission is to promote high school tennis. One of the things that I ran across and several coaches in the Kansas City area ran across back in the 1990s is we were having some, not all, but some academy coaches telling the kids, oh, you don't need to play high school tennis. It'll ruin your game. You know, work with me and I'll make you better. I'll get you that college scholarship. And I really thought, you know, being both a high school player and a college player, they were missing out on that camaraderie and that opportunity and experience of playing with their peers and their teammates and their high school classmates toward, you know, whether it was a dual match win or a conference championship or a state championship. And so we organized it to promote high school tennis. We actually had several conversations with some of the academy coaches and came to some, I thought very positive agreement that, hey, as high school coaches, we're glad to send you kids to your academy during the off season, but we want you to support our high school tennis program as well. Kids will get great benefit out of both. And while it's only, our season's relatively short, it's only about 2 months long in Kansas and Missouri here. The kids really enjoy playing high school sports. The best example I can give you of that is the number 31st seed in Wimbledon, Jack Sock, who is from one of the high schools that I coached at. He played 4 years of high school tennis, and people were trying to talk him out of it, and people were trying to influence him in different ways. And I asked Jack because I worked with Jack a little bit, my son and it was in the same tennis academy as Jack and his brother, and so they got to be friends. We got to kind of be family friends a little bit. And I asked Jack, I said, you're obviously the number one player in the nation. Why do you want to play high school tennis? And he gave me the exact answer I was looking for. Number one, it's fun. Number two, I want to help my teammates win a state championship. And number three, once I'm out of high school, I'll never have that experience again. And if, obviously he became a four-time state champion in Kansas and never lost a high school match. So his talent was way above and beyond everybody else in our state, but he wanted that experience and relished it. While he was doing it, and even after, I think he'll even tell you one of my great experiences in my tennis career was winning a high school state championship with my team. He won four state team titles with his brother and his classmates. So if one of the top world-ranked players played high school tennis, enjoyed it, I think we should promote that for all kids of all levels to be a part of that high school. It's an opportunity to be part of the community, a high school community, a high school team, and it's something that you never regret. Whether you're a JV player or a varsity player or a state champion, it's an experience that every kid should go through.
No question, and it's so great. I love watching Jack because when you see the smile on his face, you see the, the pressure at that level is tremendous, but he still understands that it's a game. And the little injury he's been through in the short run that he's had so far, I just can't help but to root for him no matter where you are. I think it's going to be nice to see him around the pro level for a while, and I do think he's going to be around there. But I think his answer to you, and I've heard that so many times myself, is I wanted to give back to those kids and everything. And, people talk about pressure and pressure comes in a lot of different ways. I had a young lady that went to the Air Force Academy, and she always is an outstanding player, played 4 years at the Air Force Academy. But she just always felt if she lost them, she let her team down. This is one of the high-ranked players in the state of Florida. Had a choice to go to just about everywhere she wanted to go. But her concern was letting the teammates down. My concern was trying to get people to at her level of play that I could, play with. And, of course, this is why we do the certification program and why we appreciate your video and what you're doing, because you understand that the average high school team is not what we think. It's not four kids on the team or six kids playing that are going to be playing together in college. Many times there's none, and sometimes there's only one and two, and the pressure on that one or two player can be pretty tough because it isn't the idea they're playing number one. They get that sold down easy, but it's the pressure of them wanting to make the team better. And I love seeing that.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other goals of the National High School Tennis Coach Association, is not only promote high school tennis, but to educate both players and parents. We've come out with some videos in the last year or two, but I also travel the country putting on high school clinics and speaking at USPTA section conventions on all sorts of topics, you know, from the mental game to technical to tactical drills and ways to improve your students. And you and I have talked about this a lot also. Oftentimes across the country, you know, there may be an art teacher, a math teacher, or a science teacher that played a little bit tennis, but, you know, has never coached before and has just taken on the coaching responsibilities for the high school because he has a love for the game. And maybe the administration asked them, but they may not be that knowledgeable yet on how to run a team practice, how to do all the technical, psychological, and tactical drills they need to do for their players to make them the best team possible. So, you know, another big goal of our organization is to provide some education, which I know you guys have done a great job down there at the Florida High School Tennis Coach Association with your clinics. I've started my own state convention for Kansas and been a part of Missouri's and Michigan's and Illinois and Arizona and several other states, including yours. So, you know, it's always fun, number one, to share the knowledge that you have and to help out. You know, you and I are kind of long in the tooth now. I kind of enjoy and relish that mentor role if we can provide some information or some education to make coaches better. That's a real job, a real joy for me as a lifelong educator is to pass along my knowledge. In my clinics that I put on or go to, I always tell everybody, I didn't invent 90% of this. I probably stole 90% of this and most of it from my father, who was an outstanding coach, one of the best coaches I've ever worked with or seen. Maybe 10% I came up with, but that's the way learning is. When you learn something or you're creating a professional library, you steal a little bit from here, you take a little bit from there, and eventually you build enough knowledge to become proficient at what you do. And there's nothing better for me than to help other high school coaches with, you know, some more education or a problem that they may be occurring in their high school or on their team. And then secondly, when I go to those clinics, I always pick up something new. I enjoy watching the other clinicians probably as much as I do providing some education, because there's always something new out there that you can always add to your repertoire of experiences and drills.
And you're right. That's what makes it so great. You know, I was just on the phone recently with Bobby Klinek, and he's the president of the Texas High School Tennis Coaches Association. And not to put more pressure on you now, but we've been talking about the education thing and everything, and I suggested to him, and that's why I asked you about the other things that besides the 25 best teams in the nation that you do, which I'd like to get back to you in a couple minutes. But I think Bobby suggested that we try to get a three-way phone conversation with Steve Buck, the executive director there, and him. And I don't know, I've been held off because A.G. LaGoria in California has been fighting cancer. I hear he's coming pretty good, but I haven't communicated with him in the last few days. But I think maybe, you know, sometimes rather than reinvent the wheel, and I know when we set up our training, we set it up so that any state organization can do it. But maybe the question isn't the state organization. Maybe the question is we get the NHS, TCA more active again, and, you know, hopefully you would welcome us into your organization. And I know maybe because I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I know I always get a lot more accomplished when I'm working with teams than as an individual.
Right. No, I agree. And we've talked about that in the past. I think that would be a great idea, because the more heads you get together, and I think the better brainstorming and better ideas you have, as opposed to trying to go at it alone.
Yeah, And I think it's just it's time for us to do it. And just, again, I repeat myself, if not us, then who else? You know, unfortunately or fortunately, in this case, I think fortunately because we have more experience at doing it, you know, we should be the one to go out and do it, and we ought to get out there and do it. I've had some questions. As a matter of fact, one of our conversation with Bobby was, he says, you know, I saw the boys off of your Facebook site, teams, but I didn't see the girls' team, and I hope I didn't mess up when I posted that. And to tell you the truth, working with the trainer today and the meds I'm on, I haven't got to it yet, but I know on your site you have the 25 top boys' teams and the 25 top girls' teams, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so yeah. I probably messed up when I went to share your information, but I told Bobby.
No, I think it's probably on there, but you just have to scroll down because, you know, it's a long list of 50 teams. I think maybe it's on there. If you scroll down a little farther, it might be on there.
Okay. Well, I told Bobby we would be talking and that I would, you know, get back to him with it. But I knew we had, there were three boys Texas teams and three girls Texas teams in there. I've learned, like you have, that you know, I compliment you and I thank you for what you've done, but I know the whole world isn't complimentary at times. What have some of the problems you've had or some of the complaints, and hopefully not too many from Florida?
No, but you've been in coaching long enough to know that, you know, when you run a tournament or when you're doing a seeding meeting for a state tennis tournament, everybody thinks their kid is the best player. You know, and they want a higher seed. And that's not unusual with high school coaches, too, that have top teams across the country. Not many, but we had four or five people said, well, how come my team didn't get ranked, or how come it didn't get ranked higher? It is a subjective poll, just like the NCAA polls or any other polls that people do. But we try to do the best job we can with the format that we use. We have a couple of regional coaches that help us out with the rankings. But I don't think we get too much argument from pros and coaches from around the country that would argue that Southern California, Florida, and Texas are probably the strongest three sections we have in the United States, and subsequently probably some of the strongest players. Not that there aren't great players out there. I mean, little tiny Kansas, where I'm from, has produced some great Division I players, and currently Jack Sock, who's 31 in the world. So, you know, everybody has their prejudice toward their team and toward their state. But I think, you know, we did a pretty good job in the fact that I've talked to some coaches who've recognized other teams out of the state. And the biggest problem we have with this national ranking is not all the teams play each other. Matter of fact, very few of the teams play against each other. So it's kind of subjective. And the way we do it is we have coaches submit their top six players, and I want to see their USTA ranking, their sectional ranking, and based on that, and based on their season, we make a ranking out of that. One of the reasons I started that is back in 1997 when my team won this Kansas State championship in '96, I believe it was. I wanted to see how we stacked up against the other teams in the nation. So the following year, we went down and played the top team in Oklahoma. We played the top team in Missouri and the top team in Arkansas, just to kind of get a bearing. And, you know, we beat everybody in our region, so I thought we had a pretty good team. I had five out of six kids on my team that were nationally ranked players, and thought we had a real solid team. But, you know, I'd like to see how we matched up against other quality sections in the United States. So in 1997, I started the National Indoor high school invitation. We invited eight teams from different regions in the United States. We invited two from Florida, two from California. We had teams from Ohio and Kentucky and Missouri, our team from Kansas. And so we did that for about 5 or 6 years and tried to bring a variety of teams in from around the nation, top teams from around the nation. And I tell you what, we had an outstanding tournament because some of these kids went on to play big-time Division I. I don't know if you remember Matthias and Nick Boker out of Florida. They played at Georgia. Alex Bogmala from Florida played in the pro circuit and still on the pro circuit. He played in our tournament. So, yeah, we had some great, great players and great teams come from all around the nation to play in our indoor tournament. It was always in end of March. Seemed to work out the best. But we had press and we had people coming from all over the Midwest to come watch this tournament because it was such an outstanding tournament. And from there, some other national tournaments have sprung up. There's one in Virginia. There's a big one out in California at La Jolla Beach Tennis Club, which is mostly California schools, but they have schools from other schools from around the country that come into that too, which is a fantastic tournament. So from our little indoor tournament in Kansas City sprung up these big tournaments around the country, and now we're getting a chance to see how great teams, great high school teams across the country match up a little bit. Again, it's not very, very much, but a national tournament does provide a chance for a team from Florida or Kentucky or Texas and California to play against each other.
Memphis has a nice tournament too. There's not enough of them, but there are a few. And then, of course, at the end of the year, the individual tournament, it's nice to see New Balance and the USTA recognized high school players in their tournament this month. So,
So
I think
there's a high school coach out of Peninsula High School in Palos Verdes, California, that has been doing the All-American status. And he just started that back in the early 90s. And he takes top two, several players from each state and provides them with an All-American certificate. And Tim Mang, he's been doing that for several years. He actually came out and played our tournament, our indoor tournament several years ago. But he would be a great contact, too, for supporting high school tennis as well.
His name is Tim Mang?
Yeah, M-A-N-G.
Heard of that, but I can't place him. We'll try it. We'll have to get back and get some more information out to contact him. For some reason, my mind is I know I've heard that name, but I can't place him. So, what's your next project?
Well, my next project is trying to expand our National High School Tennis Coach Association into other states. You and I have had conversations with John Embry, which we talked about a couple of days ago. We were shocked that there's only 17 state high school tennis coaches association in the United States. 17 out of 50 states have high school tennis coaches association, and we need to try to expand that, both for the education, both for the camaraderie, and both for and again, for the support of high school coaches and high school programs. So that's my next big project, and I hope we can work on that together.
I look forward to it because it is, and when you break it down, I mean, even out of those 17, when you break down in the Midwest, which they do a great thing with the USPTA, they'll rotate, do their convention at the same time at the USPTA convention, so they'll go from Michigan to Ohio to Illinois, and you know, depending on the year. And I think you have to be cognizant of that. Other than Texas, when I was invited out there in December to speak, I was shocked to see 600 coaches just in tennis. As you know, being you with one of our speakers in Florida a couple of years ago, we're dependent on the other sports too. I mean, we're the tennis arm of the FACA, so we actually had our date moved this year because of the other sports that we're there. So we have that. We don't get that big of a crowd because tennis is a small part of it. So I think what we need is for us to continue doing what we are so that we get recognized more. And I think some of the people, I know I talked with Chuck Reese on his show a few weeks ago, and one of his quarrel with high school tennis and is that, you know, are we, is the athletic directors, are they looking to hire a tennis coach, or are they looking to hire a monitor for after-school activity? And, you know, you have to give some credit. You know, I mean, there's some legitimate thought to what he's saying, but our job is to make sure that we provide certification, and that's what we look to do, is to sit there and show a high school coach, listen, we recognize that there's all levels that coming out for the high school team, and when you have an FHSTCA certified coach, it tells you a couple of things. It tells you when they went to the workshop, they didn't spend the whole time in the bar, because in order to take that test, they had to see what Scott Edge was saying, because Scott Edge's test was what he was teaching. So if you were there, you could pass the test. If you weren't there, you couldn't. And that's part of our whole theory. This gets you to the level one. This gets you to help say that you have somebody that knows enough drills, enough about feeding, enough about the game of tennis, that they should be able to go out there and not embarrass themselves. Now, when you go to the different levels in the continuing education, now what you have to look at is what other organizations do you get involved in? And what I like, and what you and I have talked about, you know, the thing that impressed us with our agreement with Human Kinetics is that, yes, we could, you know, this can be done in Ohio, and it becomes the Ohio certification program rather than the FHSTCA. Or, you know, which I think we have to give thought to, if it's the NHSTCA certification, then those states know that if these people are taking that, you can get it. I mean, if you go to the National High School Coaches Association, you go to tennis, try to get a respond back and see when somebody will call you back or answer any questions for you.
No, I agree.
Well, listen, I can't believe we've been on this long. Let me, before I let you go, Scott, and I get into some business, any last comments, anything you want to talk about, even if it's not the NHSTCA?
Well, I want to tell one story about you and I, but I also want to promote you know, what we're doing too. I send out, you know, information about my background and seminars that I can do, and I got on John's website, the Florida High School Tennis Coach Association, sent out a flyer to him and some information. He invited me down. We did a clinic together, and John, after the clinic, was nice enough to take me and my wife out to dinner, and as we were talking, he was asking me about my background, and I mentioned the World Scholar Athlete Games, and we both looked at each other almost the same moment and said, we were both there at the same time. We hadn't seen each other probably in 20 years, but it was kind of funny that, you know, that we recognized each other after I made that comment. And so it's great to make contact with you again and help promote your program as well. Lastly, I want to just kind of mention, anybody that's listening out there, even if you have been a college player or not, there's always something new to learn. I learn something new every time I go to a clinic. Go to clinics, go to seminars, go to conventions. They're a great way to network and to pick up great ideas to improve your team. If you're not a former player, there are some videos that I've put on to show how that coaches don't have to be a great hitter to be a great coach. There are ball fed drills, there are line ball drills that players can do. All you have to do is organize them and use them in your practice to make your team better. Those are now on the National High School Tennis Coaches Association Facebook page, and you have to spell it all out, National High School Tennis Coaches Association. We're going to be putting more videos on. We probably have about 10, 12 videos on right now, but they'll help in as far as your tactics and technical instruction for your players. And lastly, build those relationships with your high school kids. They're not just your players. They should be part of your family. And the great joy of being a coach at any level is the relationships you make and the respect and that and admiration you receive with all the hard work that you put in. It's worth more than the money that you get teaching tennis or coaching a high school sport. That's the real joy of being a coach is the relationships that you make.
I couldn't have said it better, Scott. We appreciate it. I hope that you could find time in your schedule in December to be here with us. If not, I know you said you would have the videos for us, and I appreciate that. Selfishly, Bobby and I would we'd have a lot to do in Sebastian. We're just a little fishing village, but we'd love to have you sit by the pool with us for a week or something. If you could sneak out a week, when you get back, we're only about 2.5 hours from Daytona Beach, and we would love to have more.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Can I add one more thing? Yeah, the last thing I want to mention, the high school coaches, the USPTA is coming out with a certification as well, not for the coach, but for the high school, where they can have access to a video library. We've talked to John Embry over the last and Jack Michalko over the last year and a half, try to develop this. This is going to be coming out this summer, so I'd encourage the high school coaches to take a look at that as well.
By all means, and we're going to put it out. As you know, I write a couple articles for Florida Tennis. We've already had it in Florida Tennis Magazine, and we will put it in again. And John is going to be on the radio show again in August because it's really up to us coaches to go out and talk to our athletic director and principals and, get this done. And the good thing about it is, Scott just said, it's not an individual sport of school. So if you're blessed where you have multiple assistant coaches, then, they all can get use out of this. Now, I don't know in the rest of the country, but in Florida, we're starting to get our middle schools more active. They have a separate program for the middle school. And I would just strongly recommend one of the discussions that Scott and I have had before about use of the all the 10 and under balls and how they fit into high school tennis shoes and the drills you can do with them. The other thing I would suggest is get your high school team involved with the 10 and under program. I know my wife runs the District 15 and JTO program, and I always kid the parents. I say twice a year she reminds me I can't afford a divorce, so for 6 Saturdays in the spring and 6 Saturdays in the fall, she won't allow me to schedule anything else. But I love it with the kids. But what I love more, and with the high school kids, when you watch your high school team out helping these little kids, and then you're watching them and they're given some basic instructions that you've given them, you don't have to sit and wonder, gee, I wonder, did they get that or not? Because you see they do get it. And the kids, the 10 and under, they love the high school kids even better than all the volunteers you're out there. We're blessed to have a lot.
Absolutely. Can I interject one thing on that regard?
Yeah.
That's how you build a program. We had a little seminar on that, our high school Facebook page on that. If high school coaches want to build a dynasty, a program, a long-lasting quality program, they need to go down to that elementary school and develop those kids early And just like you said, use their high school players, because those little kids look up to the high school players, and they're their role models or their idols in when they start tennis out. And that's how you really build a program.
You're 100% right. And I ask you, I'll remind you again as the audience, remember, I know I talked to Jane Hollinger, our first vice president, last week, and she told me she didn't get, hasn't had much response on the Coach of the Year. Remember, Wilson will be recognizing coach in the FHSAA 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A at our December workshop. I think you have to ask yourself a question. If your coach is deserving of the award, why haven't you nominated them? And if your coach is not worthy of it, I would ask him, are you an FHSTCA certified tennis coach? I would ask that of the principal and the athletic director, too, and find out. But I'm sure we have a lot of coaches out there that are well-deserving of the awards. We appreciate Wilson. We appreciate what they do with our All-Star tournament. And it's very important, but we need to be nominate the people in order to have those candidates out there. Team connection. If you looked in our in the Florida Tennis Magazine, you saw the Team Connection tennis sponsor in that article there. They also will present a team for 2016. One of those teams will have free uniforms, and that's because of Team Connection. So it's a point system, and you have to nominate your team for that. The award's only given out because the point system that they developed. Are your kids playing in tournaments? There's points for that. Are your coaches going to programs? There's points for that. Are your kids playing in USTA events? There's points for that. Are your kids keeping their grades up? Naturally, the higher the grades, the more points there are. And, of course, most of these points come from the volunteer hours, because they're going to need this for college. They're going to need this for the next level. And we need that to keep the community involved. We appreciate Dean Street Insurance presenting the Community Service Award. But we also look forward to every year one of the teams looking good wearing the Team Connection uniforms. And this athletic department, I'm sure, appreciates not paying for those uniforms. So continue to play it forward. You don't know where it's going to lead to. I thought my conversation that I had for Scott when I was inviting him, I went out to Kansas to a workshop, and I thought that's where my first meeting was with him. And like he told you, we had spent time together at the World Scholar Athlete Games. So the people you meet in tennis are the greatest people in the world, and the friendships and the associations that you build are lasting ones. And this is what we wanted to remember. This is what the difference with tennis team coaching certification and just coaching. A tennis team coaching, we use the tennis as a vehicle to get them through life skills. Your job as a tennis coach is to be able to first recognize who the people are there, who's capable of playing college tennis. You have a duty to help them there. Who is looking to just get into college and don't concern about tennis? You have a responsibility to those kids. Who are the people that are there just for recreation? You have a responsibility for them. And this is what we try to do. And this is one of the things we're very appreciative of what Scott Edwards says, that we try to sit there and first have the coach capable of recognizing who these individuals are on his or her team. And then, being that they know who they are, what kind of train in and what kind of programs do you put together? Because who is more important, the person, the jack sock that was there that can go pro, or the college player going to the Air Force Academy, or the scholarship that you're able to get somebody else, or the person that's going into college and just they want to focus on math, or they want to focus on education, or they want to focus on nursing? Our responsibility is to sit there and assist all of them. And this is what we try to do, and I know this is one of the reasons that Scott and I have been able to work together over the years, is because our agendas are similar that way. I've been asked years ago to evaluate a team. I don't get asked the question no more, and a lot of times I'll say it's, you know, too early. I'm just evaluating them. The team from 10 years ago. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, I have two outstanding mothers in there. We have a couple people working on their doctorate's degree. I have two teachers that were on those teams. That's how I evaluate success. Yes, those state championships, the district championships that we have, those banners hanging on the wall, I'm as proud of them as anybody else, but I'm proud to be able to sit there and able to talk and communicate with these people years later. It's nice to be able to get a phone call and not only in some cases ask for advice and be able to help them with that advice, but in other cases, you know, giving you advice. I always, I had a girl who was at Penn when we were talking at the Penn coach, and she sent me an audio, a song, and she said, this would have made it so much easier for you, coach, and the song is Turn, Turn, Turn. And one of my expressions all the time was, you have to turn, turn, turn. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be a drastic turn, but, you know, your hips have to turn, your shoulder has to turn. You're, it's always turning. You're turning. You're transferring weight from one portion of the body to another. Word. You want to keep the kinetic chain of energy going. So I was always using that term, turn, turn, turn. And she said, you know, well, she had nightmares sometimes about that. You know, this record, this not record, but CD might help the future kids. Understand turning better than hearing it from me. So, like Scott says, we're always getting advice and we're always learning. A lot of the learning comes from your students. So I thank you for being on again. I thank you for listening. Please go out and tell your friends about next week's program. I do have a potential possibility of a problem. I know I had Florin from Germany scheduled for next week's show, and I just had an email just before we were going on the email that he thought he was coming on the 30th, and which one is right. And it could be my fault with all this going through the surgery and everything. I probably messed up. But either way, we will have, if not him, there's a couple of college coaches. And we will have them. And, of course, the following week, we'll have Lisa Dotson on in the Total Serve. If you're not familiar with her, she also does a video on the serving. She has a great video for high school kids and how to serve, and she'll break down the serve. The total serve is one of the best investments I think you can make. It comes at different levels. My wife uses it in the 10 and under program. We use it at the high school, and she will be doing a presentation in December at a workshop, and she will be on our show on this Thursday, December 6th. you can find her there. So thanks for listening. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Take care now.